Mr. Barsari, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Chair Murphy?
Present.
Vice Chair Cleborn?
Present.
Representative Torkelson? Representative Torkelson? Representative Bonner is excused. Representative Garofalo?
Present.
Representative Greenman?
Present.
Representative Igo?
Igo present.
Representative Lee?
Lee present.
Representative Long?
Present.
Representative Munson?
Munson present.
Representative Nash?
Nash present.
Representative New Brindley?
Present.
Representative O'Driscoll? Representative O'Driscoll? Representative Olson?
Present.
Representative Sandstead? Representative Sandstead?
She's coming.
Okay.
She's tardy.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Schultz is excused. Representative Stevenson?
Present.
Representative Vang?
Present.
Representative West?
Present.
I'll run quickly one more time through. Representative Torkelson? And Representative O'Driscoll. And Madam Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you very much. Please note if Representative O'Driscoll and Torkelson come in. And I recognize that Representative Bonner is excused. We have minutes from the previous meeting in our package. They were provided. You read them. Vice Chair Cleburne, have you reviewed the minutes and have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I reviewed the minutes and I move adoption of the minutes for the November 23rd, 2021 meeting.
Okay. Are there any corrections or discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the minutes as printed signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. The minutes motion prevails and the minutes for November 23rd are adopted. Our agenda today is to hear from the public regarding their views of the proposed maps that were released on November 19th and November 23rd. As mentioned when I released the maps, I believe the proposals are the people's maps since we kept their public testimony from the hours of listening that we did and the numbers of meetings across the state that represented people from across the state as they were developed. The developing map is a complicated endeavor. Every single person in Minnesota who lives in some kind of a district were changed because the population changed. In the last 10 years, Minnesota's population increased by over 402,569 people, 7.6% increased population. 78% of the growth statewide was concentrated in the 7-county metro area. The redistricting maps were drawn keeping in mind our intent to be fair and transparent and open. And we had to think about ways to distribute the population across the state where we've seen the most changes, either due to a growth or a loss of population, with the changes in demographics. On October 14th, we adopted principles We wanted to adhere to a minimal deviation for population as it relates to a new ideal district size. We wanted to adhere to the federal constitution, the state constitution, and the Federal Voting Rights Act in order to ensure that there is an equal opportunity for racial, ethnic, and language minorities to participate in the electoral process. We had to be mindful where communities that share identifiable interests gather in community spaces, rely on transit corridors for connections, and rely on economic corridors and higher education communities in order to prosper. We heard from tribal leaders from White Earth, Red Lake, Voice Fort, who made the case for us to not unnecessarily divide their reservation lands and keep reservations within a single district wherever possible. We heard that districts had to be compact and contiguous, meaning that the borders of each district must touch and the districts themselves were easily traversed from one end to the other. And we were reminded that we had to minimize the division of communities along public political subdivisions, such as counties, city, school districts, and township lines. If we did all those things, we would have a fair map. The map that I presented for the State House and House of Representative districts and the 67 Senate districts stays under a goal of a deviation of 1% for the district sizes as shown on the population report. In 2012, the ideal House district size was 39,582. With the 2020 census numbers, the ideal House district is 42,586. The largest House district is 42,953, and the smallest House district is 42,217. The maps should also maintain the 13 minority opportunity districts based on voting age from the 2012 and adds 8 new districts to the previous list of 13 for a total of 21 minority opportunity districts based on voting age. In our communications from written communications that we've received from people that wanted fair maps, they said that every voice counts. And we should empower the voters to choose their representatives, not the representatives choosing their voters. Have an open and honest process, they said. And today's meeting continues that open and honest process that the people of Minnesota stated that they trusted us to preserve. We will listen. We have listened. We will continue to listen. As I mentioned, it is not easy and it is complicated and every district has to change because the population changed. It was like putting a puzzle together. and putting all the pieces of the puzzle into their proper place. There are still some things we have to learn about your district, about the districts of every congressional area of the state. And there are only 8. But they too changed. Drawing one district is easy, someone said. Drawing 134 of them all together is much harder. Given the realities of population shifts and the ripple effect of the changes you make in one district, the surrounding districts are most impacted, but the farthest away district is also impacted by that ripple effect. Today and tomorrow, we take public testimony from the people that know best, the people that have been following, and the people that want to make sure that we get it right. So we're going to listen, and we might have questions, but please, Kel Warwas, you may begin and be our first person today, followed by Benjamin Shire of Fergus Falls. Mr. Warwas, welcome to the committee, and please tell us what you think.
Thank you, Representative Murphy and members of the legislature that are here today. I appreciate you taking the time, and I recognize that it is a very difficult task. My name is Kel Warwas. I'm a township supervisor in Clinton Township, and I reside in rural Eveleth, which is part of House District 6B and Congressional District 8. Everybody hearing me okay?
Yes.
All right, very good. Today I would like to speak about both districts. CD8 is currently a very large district, which encompasses St. Louis County. St. Louis County has within its boundaries 5 operating taconite mines, which together deliver roughly $40 million in tax revenue to my county's annual budget, which is a very small part of what they do, actually. Also, a relatively recent study by Labovitz School of Business and Economics has noted that Minnesota mining directly brought in $1.7 billion to Minnesota's economy in 2010, but indirect effects brought that total to $3 billion. As a third-generation iron miner with 25 years in the industry, these numbers are very important to me and our region as a whole. CD8 encompasses a rust belt, if you will, of industry that dates back about 140 years and has a workforce and mentality to match its history. The map in question that pushes our boundaries much further west and northwest will, in my opinion, dissolve effective representation for the current 8th district a lot, just by virtue of its size. Also, the citizens of CD8 have almost no common cause with other industries in that area, including large agricultural interests closer to the Red River. I would say the north-south alignment of the current CD7 and CD8 will serve constituents in kind much better than the proposed. As for my house district, 6B, which I'm also very close to 6A currently in Clinton Township, Clinton and Cherry reside side by side, east to west, and Cherry is in 6A, I'm in 6B. We have at least 3 of those operating mines in 6A, or 6B rather. And 6A has two, with a third being developed. And Julie Sandstead is on the call. She can correct me if I'm wrong. It's something like that. I work at U.S. Steel Mintac, so the one that's pictured behind me. It's been there since the 1970s, late 60s, being developed and running strong. The proposed map that I see now would combine all of that wealth in one small district called 7A. This is a sweeping change that I don't think can be justified. It would silence rural voices that have a stake in the industry of this region. The proposed 7A district is also heavily partisan, as it includes all the larger population centers, the cities in that region that lean mostly Democrat, which are Hibbing, Virginia, Mountain Iron, and Chisholm. And all the other areas around the proposed 7A are rural. So that is all I have to say on the issue. I do thank you for your time today, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your input. Seeing no hands. Mayor Shire.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I would just start by echoing Supervisor Warwa's comments about the difficult task that you have, and I appreciate the work that's and the thought that's gone into the process. I just wanted to, really emphasize the point that when we look at redistricting and drawing new lines, my community, I'm Ben Shire, I'm the mayor of Fergus Falls. My community is best served when Otter Tail County is kept whole. For the last 20 years, that's been the case, largely been the case. Currently, all of the cities of Otter Tail County are within one Senate district. And our House district, with the county seat, our House district is entirely within the county. So our senators and our state senator and state representative represent the interests of two counties currently. The way that the map is proposed, that would split Otter Tail County in half, and our state representative and state senators would go from representing two counties to 11 counties, which would obviously significantly, in my opinion, diminish the voice that we have in the state legislature. I mentioned our House district is currently all within Otter Tail County, with Fergus Falls being the county seat. The new proposed map would stretch that out to include four counties, which of course would further divide the influence that we have. And I just want to make the point that as a city, as the county seat, as the largest city in the region in Otter Tail County, we work very closely with our other cities and townships within Otter Tail County. We work very closely with the Otter Tail County Board of Commissioners on economic development, public health, transportation, environment, and just a whole host of other issues that really bind us together as a community. So again, just wanted to, when you look at Fergus Falls for the last 20 years, we've largely been kept whole within Otter Tail County. Our Senate district does include Douglas County, but that's the two counties, Otter Tail and Douglas County. And the, I just worry as a mayor going from our state representatives in St. Paul, representing two counties to 11, that's really just going to diminish the voice of my constituents in my community. And we work very closely. And so I just want to continue that that work with the Otter Tail County Board of Commissioners and with our state legislators. I think it's been a very positive and successful relationship. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. And again, I just want to say thank you for your work and allowing the public input on this process. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate them. Questions? I understand the comfort of what you said, but having four voices and four representatives on speaking for your area, and having four different members on different committees. I'm not sure if that would be a totally diminish your voices, the comments that make. Do you see any advantage to having more people that are from your area speaking for you in St. Paul?
Madam Chair, thanks for the question. So Fergus Falls would still only have two representatives in the state. It would just be that the interests of the interests that they represented would stretch across 11 different counties rather than the two counties that they currently represent. And so, you know, when I, as a mayor of Fergus Falls, when we're going to work on a public health initiative such as mental health, we work with our county board of commissioners. And even though these all the issues we work on are regional, as a county unit, that's really where we see, like I've seen the efforts taking place that pay off. So to have a rep, to have a someone in St. Paul that represents, you know, that county as a whole, because we're tied together because of the economic transportation and just so many of the county services that are provided. I think having that representative in St. Paul really focused on the interests of our county as opposed to the interests of 11 counties really benefits the constituents in Fergus Falls, if that makes sense, Madam Chair.
Sure it does. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for staying. And our next person that wants to speak to us from the city of Otter Tail, Ron Grobeck.
Yeah. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for the invitation and opportunity to speak. Our sentiments in Otter Tail City coincide very much with Mayor Schreier from Fergus Falls. As mayor of a small city of 600 people, we work closely with Otter Tail County on all important issues facing our residents. And in the proposed map, Otter Tail City is not in the same Senate district as Fergus Falls, Battle Lake, and other key Otter Tail County's communities that we partner regularly with. For example, we are a member of what's called the Tri-County Group Housing, and we partner with Otter Tail, Henning, and Battle Lake on housing issues and other similar interests that we share. So we have strong developed partnerships with those areas. In our current district, Otter Tail City is part, of course, of the district and Senate district that covers two counties, as was just mentioned. And in the new one, it would be split between five counties. And we're worried that a small city like ours would get lost in a district that's split between so many counties, and also areas that don't include cities that we regularly work with in Otter Tail County. So when we look at the proposed map, we believe that Otter Tail County should not be split. We think it should stay intact. We think we have a good system going, and we don't think we should really mess with success. We're a progressive county, and like I said, we work closely, and we would like to see Otter Tail County stay intact.
Okay. Thank you. Are there questions?
Madam Hey. Chair. Madam Chair.
Vice Chair Cleburne.
Thank you. I'm looking at the new proposed map, and I can only, unless I'm seeing something drastically wrong, I only see Otter Tail County divided into two districts. I'm confused about the 11 districts comment. And anyway, I'll just leave it at that. But I only see the two districts. But we can maybe follow up privately afterwards. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. The next person I have on my list is Rick Ely from Rogers. Is that correct?
I'm here.
Okay.
Good. Good morning. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate your hard work through this project. My main concern with this is in the cities we border, Maple Grove, Dayton, Rogers in 34A, we all work extremely hard together. We're all part of the I-94 coalition, which has helped move the road projects through from Maple Grove and beyond. And we depend highly on our representation to help us with these projects regarding funding and policy, things like that. Dayton, which is proposed to be moved out of our district. Again, we share many projects. The city of Rogers has invested $1.5 million in the new Dayton interchange there. Although it's not in our borders, we know that it will help our region and our area. And of course, it'll help Rogers too, moving some traffic off of 101. But all these projects, that's why we dedicated $1.5 million. Dayton we also provide sewer water for the city of Dayton. We work well together. We have many projects. We've got the big new, Graco in town, and they're moving a big project, 750,000 square foot across the Brockton Lane from us. That too is some of those intersections we both have shared the cost in these projects, knowing that it's just going to help the region and help us move traffic. To move our representation away, to move Dayton out of our area is we work well together and we work hard together and we're proud of that. And we've brought a lot of good projects to this area. Moving them out, I think, would be, to reach out to multiple representation is an issue. We've been extremely happy with how it's been for years, and we've worked well. And our representative in Senate and in the Senate and the House have worked strong to keep us on the right path. So, are we not for this? Not at all. I mean, we like our neighbors. We work well together, and I think it helps our whole communities. So, any questions?
Jeremy Munson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the testifier, Mr. Ely, my question is really, when we divide the legislative districts like this, and we end up actually creating more votes for your area, so you would actually have two representatives, that would be able to vote in these projects, and two senators that would be able to vote in these projects, as opposed to one. Doesn't that increase your voice in the Capitol by having twice the number of people working on your behalf versus one?
Honestly, again, I don't see it as a big favor. We've all worked well together in the House and the Senate, and I guess we just like our little part of the world here. We're pretty far away. We always consider ourselves a little bit neglected in Hennepin County, but we accept that. We work hard with our neighbors and move projects forward, and we're extremely happy with how it's been going over the years. So,
okay.
Mr. Mayor Ely, do you understand the ripple effect that I was talking about that happens when one district changes, every district changes?
Well, yeah, understanding that, but like, again, we've all worked, we're working hard with Dayton too on the new law enforcement center, things like that. So, we're extremely pleased with our representation. It's just my point, my view. What you folks do, you're paid to do. So,
yeah.
just want to let you know, this is how we feel in this part of Hennepin County. And again, we've all worked well together, and I think we always laugh because we think Dayton thinks of Rogers as the big brother, you know. Uh-huh. When they have projects and things going on, they come to us. But again, it's been a nice relationship, and again, we'd like to continue that. So.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and yeah. I think families are really good.
Yes.
Yes. Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just like to say to Mayor Ely, I represent Plymouth, and we do work very closely, Plymouth, Maple Grove, Rogers, Dayton, to do that work, that good work in the northwestern suburbs. And I would like to just put a little bit of perspective around what we were facing in the northwestern suburbs. For example, the current district that Representative Robbins, who represents that district, has her, that district grew by nearly 4,000. So her district has too many voters by 4,000. Kristen Bonner, who represents the B side of that district, has 4,200 too many residents. I should say residents, not voters, but residents. And then in the district that I have represented for the last 3 years, it has 6,868 too many residents for equal representation. So when Representative Murphy talks about the growth in these districts that cause change, I just want to be aware that we're talking about a very large number of people which caused those districts to consolidate. So there are uncomfortable changes for all of those districts. And I just want to put that on the record. But I want you to know I hear you. And if I'm fortunate enough to continue to represent Plymouth, I'll continue to work very hard for that northwestern corridor. Thank you.
I appreciate that you came, Mayor Ely. And we will review your comments as we progress. Mayor Tim Sanders.
All right, good morning, everyone. And thank you, Madam Chair and members, and thank you, staff, for allowing me to be a late addition and for allowing me to testify and represent our great city of Blaine. I'm Tim Sanders. I'm the mayor of Blaine, and I certainly understand and are very sympathetic and appreciative of the work you've done. I served in the House, first representing House District 51A, and then after redistricting went to House District 37B. So I've been through the process there at the Capitol, and certainly do appreciate it and know what you're going through. In looking at this proposed map right now, we do feel like, you know, and again, we understand, I'll start off saying this, we understand that particularly Blaine was a driving force for change in the North Metro. Our city is rapidly growing, has been rapidly growing. We are the kind of the driving population growth in the North Metro for sure. So we were expecting some change, but I will say that we feel like this proposed change is quite burdensome as proposed. What this map does is it really chops Blaine into three significant House districts, two Senate districts, removes us from our current congressional district, and places us in two new congressional districts. When we look at the city of Blaine, and I know that there's been a couple questions like, well, doesn't more voices mean more representation, and isn't that good? And, you know, in theory, I think that sounds great. But what you're hearing from mayors and from some of these cities are when you are moved into communities or moved into districts that maybe not represent or have similar or same interest, then it really does feel like the district is being divided and that your voice is potentially diminished. We put a tremendous amount of effort in our city into bringing our city and our community together to trying to make it as cohesive and equitable as possible, whether it be the infrastructure issues that we're working with at the state, whether it be the economic development philosophy and the work that we're doing. Everything that we do is to try to bring the city and all the growth that we have to be completely cohesive and equitable. And we feel like this map really, really divides us. And we just really ask that, you know, if possible, that you not unnecessarily divide our city up the way as proposed. With that, I'm happy to stand for any questions. And again, thank you for the time to comment on this. And again, appreciate all the work that you're doing.
Mayor Sanders, tell me about your divisions in your city. Your council has how many wards, or are they, I don't know what they're called, but are they called wards or districts, council districts? How many council districts are there?
They are called wards. We have three council districts, and we have two council members from each ward. So six council members, and then the mayor is at large, represents the whole city. Currently, and obviously those precincts and those wards will have to be redrawn as well. Those lines are really kind of north-south. The city is divided into three kind of sections that way. The current map, again, it really, and again, I get it, and it probably would happen either way, but really the divisions here really do economically divide our city, these proposed divisions. It really does divide the light gathering places, and really does kind of the way the city is currently built. It really does kind of separate the city and kind of divides us when we're really, really working hard to bring the city together.
And you couldn't, with your council lines redrawn, would that togetherness be brought back together, or would it remain divided then because of the state line?
We can draw our, I mean, my understanding is we can draw our, I don't know that it necessarily matters from the city standpoint. I think we can draw our lines still to accommodate the population as needed. But I will say the way, and again, kind of going back to Representative Munson's comments and into your question earlier, Madam Chair, when you have significant divisions as proposed here, you're kind of creating super city council members. You know what? Very important things happening in one part of the city may not be important to the other, you know, to a representative across the street because the district lines aren't there. And so when we're put into two different Senate districts, three different House districts, two different congressional districts, you know, although there might be more voices, we feel like those voices do actually become watered down. And I think whether or not we're able to fully articulate that, I think you're hearing that from these mayors and from these cities and towns, to where more doesn't always necessarily mean better.
Mm-hmm. But you would become a super mayor then too, wouldn't you?
Oh, I hope that people think that.
With all your past experience. Well, you know better than anyone how you know better than anyone how the system works at the State House of Representatives.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's certainly true. But you know, we know that Blaine was going to be a driving factor, and we would see change up here. I think this is more significant change than we were anticipating and looking for. As you know, depending on the day, we wrestle with Lakeville and Maple Grove as to whether we're eighth or ninth largest city in the state. But you know, we again just feel like our community and what we're working towards over the next 15 to 20 years of development that we have available. A lot of the communities that we are dissected into are developed. They're developed out. You know, and Blaine is still a rapidly growing city with a lot of momentum and energy behind it. And so certainly understand your all's position. We just wanted to make sure that we put that on the record. And if there's, you know, again, I understand changing anything affects everything. But if there is a way to not unnecessarily divide the city of Blaine, we would be greatly appreciative.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, your comments, and I appreciate that you reappeared for us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
This is a struggle, and you talked about 15 years. You won't even get to the 15 years because 10 years, we have to do this all over again, or somebody right. has to do this all correct. Over again.
Correct. Yes.
And times change and circumstances change and census districts change. And so here we are, and we're trying to make the best of it. And we like to be reminded of all our good things, but we have to hear things that create unhappiness for people too. And so we appreciate that you brought forth your opinions, and we, as I said, we will review them, and we'll see what we can do.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Vice Chair Cleburne has a comment or a question. I'm not sure which.
Just a quick question for Mayor Sanders. Since I don't know Blaine personally that well, I know in the way that Plymouth developed, it was, you know, this phenomenal growth in one particular region of Plymouth that drove a lot of changes in the districts for Plymouth and the surrounding suburbs. In looking at the map and looking at the way that Blaine is currently on the proposed map, could you please just help me understand in which general region is this future development going to occur? Is it in the northwest, the northeast, southwest, southeast?
Vice Chair. Most of the growth is in the north and the east. So I don't know if you can tell on the maps that you have there, but we call it the Lexington Corridor. Okay. So along Lexington, really from 35W all the way up to Ham Lake, there will be significant growth in that part of the city, as well as everything really from Radisson Road, north of Main Street, east of Radisson Road, there will be significant growth in that part of the city as well. There is growth as well that is continuing to happen in the south, again, but the southeast. So really it's the eastern part of the city, east of Highway 65 and even east of Radisson Road, where all of the future growth will happen, where the growth is happening now, but yeah. where the future growth over the next, you know, 8 to 10 years is really going to happen. And we've even been surprised. We had more houses come online and housing permits in 2021 than we did in 2019, which is, I think, pretty staggering and phenomenal.
You know, it's we have to base the population on the census, right? But it was just, I was just curious as to where that was going to be going. So thank you so much for your response. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate that you came and that you shared with us your concern. Is there anyone else that hopped on to testify? Do I have everyone? Have I had everyone?
Madam Chair, that's correct. You've covered everyone who we know about.
Okay. And Representative Cleburne, you want to talk to Mayor Grobeck and Mayor Ely a little more? Is that right?
Well, I was just thinking that in listening to Mayor Ely, you know, I truly understand his concern. You know, he has developed a relationship with the current representative. I'm just trying to figure out with the census numbers in that Northwest Metro, but what more he would want us to know about the district itself, you know, the community of Rogers itself.
Mr. Mayor. Mayor Ely, are you still on? Oh, I think he vanished.
I can reach out to him at his office. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Are we near the end of this endeavor for today?
Yes, we are.
I do have a question then. You know, I'm very pleased that we are taking more testimony and giving the citizens of Minnesota a chance to react to your proposed maps. What I'm curious about is whether or not this additional information that's being presented to us will have any chance of having an impact on your proposed map. Do you tend to go back and do some redrawing or reevaluating, or is it just so we can hear about how people feel?
Yes, and we do have possibilities of amendments.
Oh, absolutely, Madam Chair, and we are, I can assure you, we are listening to what's being brought forward today, and it will have an impact on our work as we prepare to present an amendment I believe it's the 9th, whatever the date of that meeting is, where we're going to have amendments. We're looking forward to presenting something that we believe will reflect the concerns of the citizens of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Any other business to come before us at this time? If not, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m., our committee will be called back to order, and we will listen to the people that have suggestions for our listening concern and our possible amendments, and our the voice of the people of Minnesota will have the opportunity to speak again about the amendments that about the maps that were presented and are on the website. Seeing no further hands, this meeting is adjourned.